All right, welcome to Office Hours. Once again, I'm recording. I haven't uploaded last week's to YouTube yet, but I will. We did get the audio update. I did manage to get the audio update. So I'm once again recording. We're like halfway to the Felix stream. Okay, so we don't have much questions today, so I'll blur through the questions that we do have. Maybe we'll load the tech tree. That will just to like encourage some questions. So CompUser says, current activity of the Canine Companion. Canine Companion wants me to play with Duck. I'm not playing with Duck. I'm doing with Office Hours right now. They are, you know, they're obsessed with their toy. Like, for the best thing in the world for them right now would be for me to pick up the toy. I just did that to ease them, but they're gonna want it done like every 30 seconds. Millennia, much time to do that. Hecko says, how many collars do you own for the pooch? Three, I think. I only really use one. I bought like a cheap one around the corner from PetSmart, but that particular one, like a plastic buckle. Never a good idea to use a plastic buckle on any form of dog leash. And so they actually slipped it the first week I had them. So I went around the back and I bought like the next best thing, which turned out to be like a thicker collar. You might call it like a, I don't know, like a Pitbull Terrier collar, because that's how thick it was. I was just like, hey, I need it not to slip off until something better arrives. So I've got that one. Don't use that one in the cheese collar. I don't remember where I got it from, but it has metal buckles. Good. By the way, for those of you who own dogs and use dog harnesses, I have no problem with harnesses, but please, for the love of... You know, like when an item of clothing doesn't fit correctly and you're just really uncomfortable. I see so many like dogs being walked and their owners have got them on a harness, which like, I don't agree with, but like it's fine. And the harness isn't like tightened. There's like straps that you're meant to tighten. The rule of thumb for dogs is always you have to get like two fingers underneath the thing that you're tightening. If people think, like, oh, that's too tight, I want you to like put on a watch and put two, that's still quite. But what I see instead is like incredibly loose, really good harnesses, but like incredibly loose fitting. And so when the dog does pull, rather than like any desirable action occurring with the harness, they basically turn into like sitting in a hammock, or like the harness is falling off them, and it's literally doing nothing. Get two fingers under. Trust me, it is tight enough, loose enough at the same time. They ain't gonna die. If you really want to like figure that out, go ahead, put a collar on your head. Your neck, two fingers tightens. Be absolute. Went out to the outdoor area of my apartment complex yesterday, and there was a boat. This resident has like a really big like truck van thing. Like, you know, the stereotypical sort of American family car, really big, full of features, looks basically like a monster truck. Has no reason to look like a monster, and it was towing a boat, like just like a pleasure boat, so like four-seated like speedboat. And that boat's been there before, and they've actually parked it in the fire lane, it's so many goddamn levels of stupidity to do that. For anyone who doesn't know, fire lanes are designated such that if a building is on fire, the fire truck can save your life. So if you park a boat there, you're endangering everyone in the apartment building, including yourself, because there's a boat in the way. Don't park boats in fire lanes. Anyway, I got in trouble with the building management. At one point, there were two boats. Anyway, so boat guy was back this year, and I like looked at him, and he looked at me. He knows I'm the guy that complained, because I took some photos, and as I was taking photos, he came out and yelled at me. And I went like, you're putting us all at risk, you understand. Anyway, so he knows it's me. But what also happened, to get back to dogs, was their dog was out on like leashless, presumably because they just like either they're going to the water with their rented boat or they're coming back from the water with their rented boat, and so their dog wasn't on a leash and it was just running around, and it comes running up to Feta, and Feta doesn't particularly like other dogs. Luckily Feta's chill, he's like chill with random dogs. And like the owner's like oh, he's perfectly friendly, and I went, yeah, but like Feta isn't. She goes, well, he looks quite friendly. It's like, yeah, that's like, it's partially because like you got lucky in that like he doesn't mind this dog. I would also partially because like I'm here and I know what I'm doing. I don't think that she'll learn it. But if you are not in a designated off-leash area, please do not off-leash your dog. And in lieu of that, if you are off-leash training your dog and their behavior is to run up to things away from them that quite clearly should not be ran up to, you need to restart your off-leash training, because the first part of off-leash training, re-teaching the dog like what is dangerous and what is not. Because like before, it was your move, right? You're on the end of the leash, right? So if they run into the road, it's on you because you're on the end of the leash. But if it's an off-leash dog and they run into the road, it's on the dog, right? The dog has to like mentally make the decision when they're off the leash, I'm not going to run in. They have to mentally make the decision when they're off the leash. I'm not going to run up to that dog because you're not there on the leash. Yeah, three colors. I actually do need to buy a new cheese color. It's it won't die for a bit, but like it's showing wear. And so you know, I need to get one on the order because it was like an Etsy item. And you know how Etsy is, right? You order it and it might come in like a day or it might come in like 3 months. See, so you got to like, you know, you got to like balance that up. Just another random note on dog training. Like your dog training needs to be effective if it allows your dog to make decisions for it, and then you can evaluate those decisions that the dog makes. Like you shouldn't be like training or teaching your dog such that they're unable to make decisions. It's always got to be like, I am a dog and I am deciding not to do what I used to do when you first got me, which is go psycho mode on anyone that runs at me. Oh, and if you happen to have small little children around you and you're around dogs, please like tell the children to leave us alone. It is like ridiculous. So what happens is I walk past some kids at the park and they're like, oh, cute dog. And then they get closer and I'm like, no, please don't. Please back off. Dog not friendly. And they get closer or they ask questions or they don't understand or they freeze. All of these are wrong. Like if you just like carried on your day as though I wasn't here, I would be in perfect control of Feta and Feta would be a good, because you've stopped to stare at him and make silly faces, and you're a kid and you're unpredictable, now he's getting agitated. I need to do stuff so that we don't end up with barking and scaring. There's a perfect gif, I think I like have said this before, I'll put it in the chat here, I'll have to find it. I want a gif, and a gif, it's a really small gif. Ew, that's a horrible, that'll do. Right, so in this gif, this kid's obviously made a mistake, but it doesn't warrant the reaction from the mother. It's like, no, don't like take control of the kid. Don't like grab his hand and the drink. Like he's just spilt like, I don't know, like half a glass of orange juice down his shirt. He'll be fine. Let him make his own mistakes. Let him make his own choices. Don't immediately grab him like he's a baby. Like that kid can make choices. Same thing goes for the dog, right? Are you letting the dog make a choice there? Or are you like stepping in so that the dog doesn't have to? It's like, oh no, you've spilled a drink. Let me grab your hand. No. Leave the damn kid alone. Will you have to do laundry? Yes, but you would have to do laundry anyway. Once the drink's spilt, the drink's spilt. Anyway, do we have any more questions? Because now all that we've got on this like video recording is me rambling about orange juice and this GIF looping. But 12 people in the audience. I know turnout's bad because I want Discord, not Twitch. It'll probably be like better on Twitch. But I once again had the unfortunate problem of waking up like 30 minutes before office hours in a sort of like dehydrated haze. I even like went to bed a little bit earlier last night so that I wouldn't have like that problem occur. But then I just had like mad insomnia and it got really hot. And so I spent the entire night going backwards and forwards from my bed and the couch. The couch, because it was nice and cool out here in the living room with the couch. And then it was like, hey, this is getting kind of uncomfortable. Like I really should try sleeping again. So I'd go back to the bed and then like vice versa. It was just like hours. Evidently, at some point, I fell asleep, but I have no idea when that was. I almost gave up several. Trigonus says, will Resonite ever get smell-o-visions? We do actually have one smell peripheral that is supported, I believe, by OSC or WebSocket. I can never remember its name, and I haven't heard or thought about it in like about half a year, so that's probably why I can't remember. It is able to get around. So some of the issues with smell-o-vision things right now is that you need to get around basically the vape rules and also the sort of aerosol, because of course there are consumer rules for vapes and there are consumer rules for aerosols, and smell-o-vision related devices are basically close to those things. So the one I'm thinking of, Peter the Thinker was involved with it. I really don't remember his name. It had like little pods of essential oils and fans. So when the fan turns on, you know, aerate the oil and you'd smell it. So that got around the whole sort of, is this a vape? Is this an explosive? Peter was very nice to ship out to Fruits whilst he was here in Seattle on Christmas, a unit. Unfortunately, all of the essential oils like leaked in transit. And so the box was like nuclear. Like walking towards it was like walking towards a perfume store. I think it calmed down now. Seriously, leave the kid alone. Let him pour orange juice down his shirt. If there is an open source peripheral that you're interested in us supporting, make sure that there is a GitHub issue there. We could actually really do smells. We could do smells well in Res. No, the whole like Resonite scheme, like, you know, components, slots, spatial variables, all sorts of stuff like that, really does lend itself to making smell-o-vision style stuff quite easy and fun to You know, you'd probably just define like a space. I don't know if it would be like a spatial variable space, but like a space, you know, maybe a sphere or a cylinder or whatever. And within that space, we would activate the Smell-O-Vision device. One of the problems with Smell-O-Vision devices, though, is that they are not customizable. So you, ahead of time, need to know what smells that you're after. I think the example I was given to talk about them before is, let's say that you're doing some sort of like adventure mystery that goes through a forest and a cave, and there's like smelly monsters in the cave. Then you know that you're going to need like forest scents, cave scents, you know, like mist, mold, mushrooms, whatever, and then like smelly orcs at the bottom of the cave, right? So you need to pre-figure out what bottles, cartridges, aerosols, whatever the Smell-O-Vision uses, what ones are needed for this experience, and then you need to inform the user to load their device with those smells. You can't surprise, and that's one of the good parts about like all of the items in Resonate, right? Sometimes they're surprising. So true Smell-O-Vision would be like someone pulls a fart grenade out and it goes off, and the Smell-O-Vision device is able to recreate the smell of the fart. And then the next moment someone pulls out, like, I don't know, a perfume grenade, and it smells of perfume without any user intervention, because otherwise, like, the surprise is ruined. So the only way that that would happen is sort of molecular printing, I guess, because otherwise you'd have to basically, like, attach an entire perfume store to the device and then have, like, a million and one ratios for, like, hey, you need, like, poop smell. You do, like, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. They'll just be like, I don't know if you've seen it, like, a perfumer store. But it's horrendous, the amount of bottle. I know the popular ones are like in, the popular ones like Virality for like social media and stuff are the perfume stores in India. You can just take in a sample of perfume and the guy will recreate it for you. But he'll recreate it for you by mixing like an infinite amount of tiny unlabeled bottles in their store that look like that. And the Indian guy's amazing at it, but like, his cataloging system for his bottles of piss or coffee colored liquids is great. I've got another picture that's at least got labeling. Let's take a look at the label. Sorry, that's the Musk chill. DJ Musk, White Musk, Musk Nap, Give Musk. I thought they said Musk, but this is like Musk Casa. I don't know what any of that means. These are a little bit easier to understand. This is Hugo Boss, Terrange. Here's some sort of vegetable or flower, anyway. This one over here is just called Aqua, which usually means water. That's not water. Blue Sea, Armani. It just said like white men. Like they've distilled white men, put them in a perfume. This is like white and then probably some plum. And there's one here just labeled Desire. Ooh. Anyway, you would need a collection of bottles bigger than that if you wanted like true Smell-O-Vision. Or you would need some sort of molecular printer where you can on-demand sort of program the aromatic that you need to produce. And once we get like molecular printing, we're done, by the way. It's not AI. Moving onwards, Kapla says, have you already been discussing render candidates internally at YDMS, or are you waiting for the phase 2 community discussions to progress before we go into deep into? We are keeping an eye on what's going on. It is kind of like hard for me, at least. I don't know how the other team members feel, to avoid like favoritism or anything like that. I don't want to give the impression too quickly, at least, like, hey, this renderer looks really cool, this is the renderer that we're going to use, because it just like, it's problematic, right? Because we still don't really know. Maybe there's like a blocker somewhere along the way or something. Another problem as well is that like there may be like the assumption like floating around the community that you're in the wrong chat, Fruks, but you are correct. Fruks says, the spooky thing about molecular printers, they could print poison gases. Yeah, incredible. They could print, like, you could accidentally, like, say there's some language for, like, the molecular printer. You could, like, have a missing semicolon or a missing bracket, and it's just like, whoops, just printed cyanide. Guess I'm killing this Resonate session with my Smell-O-Vision. It's okay, Fruks. Yeah, I don't want to give the impression with the renderers that you are, like, guaranteed to be chosen, or like good things will happen to you if we choose it. You know, it's not like, hey, we've chosen the renderer, welcome to the Resonite team, here's a paycheck. I don't want to give that impression, that's bad. It's like, hey, you made the chosen renderer for Resonite, fanfare, jazz hands, brass band, parade float, you're the like savior of the universe, here's $1 million. I don't want that, right? It's got, you've got to be building it or submitting it or talking about it because you have a passion for the project. Yeah, it's very important that we get engagement. I know it's going to happen. So like in some regards, I'm like already aware that it's going to happen. But it is frustrating, right? However long it takes down the line, you know, we've chosen the renderer. We've got all the like stuff done and it starts to move, right? It starts moving. And then maybe the first release with the new renderer comes out to Steam. And then I guarantee one person will be like, I didn't know this was happening. I have opinions. And now is the time that I wish to do a like 40-page essay on why you made the wrong decisions. But I didn't engage with any of the other previous opportunities to provide feedback. It's just like, sorry, I'm not quite sure what I could do with that one. And before you ask, yes, there'll be pre-releases. You'll know it's happening. Unless you like live inside of like a hut, you'll know it's happening. We might even get to the point where there are like multiple renderers available for a build somehow. We'll figure it out how you download that. And we do have that new command line parameter, which can like link to other renderers though. But it might be like, in the pre-release branch, there's a copy of Resonite with three renderers provided. Three. And you could just download it on Steam and try it out. And like each one's got like, I don't know, like an ELO may reading. What's your renderer's ELO? My renderer's a grandmaster. They could checkmate you in three moves. Freak says the hard part is that people not engaging with it makes it ambiguous from our end between people not paying attention to it, not having time for it, not having opinions, or thinking that everything is good. Yeah, we don't expect, but Blast says many Resonite players are nerds, but maybe not graphic engineering nerds. I agree with that. I am also not a graphics nerd. I looked at one of the renderers and I was just like, I don't really know what I'm looking at here. And I realized I was in shader code. But like you have an opinion. A good example that I've seen for one of the renderers, I don't want to name it, I don't want to be favoritism or whatever. There's a bunch of issues on that renderer where someone posts like screenshots like before and after a change. So there was a change with like, I think it was lighting, something to do with skyboxes or whatever. And there was a picture on that issue of like the renderer before the change, the render after this change. And they'd done a git bisect on it. A git bisect is like where you, I'm going to butcher this explanation. You binary search through a change log to find out when a change occurred, and then you can narrow down like where the problem is. So what they did was they bisected through the recent changes of that renderer and got screenshots until the screenshot changed to what they expected, and they provided that information to. That's really cool. I want to do that for Resonite like eventually, because Resonite's a bit more of a like complicated application. It'll probably need like a Windows VM somewhere to do this, or maybe we can, you know, like a desktop environment. It wouldn't have to be a server, but it would need like a, you know, a GUI of some kind. And it would just be like, hey, CICD, that's you know, J4 stuff, CICD has just pushed a new build. I will run this on a GUI thing, like a VM somewhere or whatever, and I will take a screenshot like every 10 seconds as Resonite loads up. And then what we can do is we can save those screenshots every 10 seconds in that like test machine, and we can compare them as a new build comes in. So we can say like, hey, there's a new build being produced, and sorry to call you out here, Fruks changed one component to have a fish on it, like a fish property. But the smoke test with the screenshots every 10 seconds is like, there's fish everywhere. Like, why are there fish? There's fish on the login screen. There's fish in, like, the tutorial. Like, what's happening? All right? And the screenshots would pick that up. Beyond that, we can then do, there's this language called Robot. And Robot Framework allows you to sort of programmatically say, like, find this button. Click this button. So we can then throw that at it. And it can be like, hey, this new build of Resonite, can you even log in? Can you log in? And it'll be like, bro, you can't log in. This new build of Resonite, it's broken. It's cooked. Something's wrong. You can't log in. So Radio says, I've had a lot of people in other groups that don't directly engage with stuff like this, but then complain when thing happens. And it's always like, I always have to remind them they have opportunities to engage with it, and they continue to just not. It's not a situation where they don't have time. They absolutely do. They aren't. They just aren't interested, but still complain. Yep. Frick says, at that point, it's on them. We have provided them opportunities. They didn't. Yep. I also love the Radio was talking about the not enough time excuses, that you had to monitor everything. If it's greater than a week, you're already like amazing in terms of like notice, right? Greater than a week is already fantastic. If it's greater than a month and you still don't get to it, it's like, do you have any plan for your life? You know, because the ask must come in. It must be like, hey guys, you know, can you test this new Resonite build? You've got 2 months to test this Resonite build. And then after 2 months and like you haven't tested it, and then we do something and then you complain. It's like, what were you doing for 2 months? And if you were doing stuff for 2 months that wasn't testing the thing that you're interested in, why are you complaining? Just as a caveat here, if you do test it after those 2 months and you still find feedback, you can give it to us. The problem is when you complain about it. It's like, I have this feedback and feel that this decision shouldn't have been made because I have this feedback, even though the feedback occurs after the time. Like, we'll still take the feedback, but like, be reasonable. Like, I'm sorry, I was in Madagascar looking at wild animals on a safari. I didn't have time to look at your new renderer, but I have a item of feedback about how it renders lights. Perfectly reasonable. We understand that you didn't have time to take a look at the... Just be nice about it. Hope you enjoyed your Madagascan trip, and do you have any photos? Frick says, also hurts their reputation in my eyes. If someone complains like that, takes no responsibility, that hurts their credibility, and it will take more time for me to take them seriously in the future. Yeah, that happens a lot, like, unconsciously as well. It shouldn't, but, like, we're human, so it does happen, honestly, right? So even if you're not, like, mentally aware of the fact that you're like, oh, that person complained again, right? It's going to be filed somewhere in the back of the head. There's like, this person complains and they're not reasonable about it. Apollo says, and when you do get pings, people complain that they don't want pings for that kind of stuff. Yeah. When we set up the new ping categories, I think in the team meeting there, I said something on the lines of, you can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make it drink. And that's exactly what I meant. It's like, we have like, hey, you want a ping for this? You could subscribe to it. You want a ping for this? You could subscribe to it. And then still it's like, oh, but no, I don't. It gets to the point where, like, instead of, like, pinging groups, you might as well just ping, like, specific people. Feta, you're not allowed to bark. Like, instead of, like, at updates, it'll be, like, the role name is at updates, except for this one guy who doesn't want updates but subscribes to updates for some reason. Anyway, do we have any more questions? I don't want to, like, feel like I'm you know, complaining about the community a lot. You guys are great. I just want you to you know, once again remember that we're humans. My desk is full of like granola bar and protein bar wrappers, and it's got like 5 different drinks on it. And the cause for all of that is because I spend so much time working on Resonate for you. We're trying our best. I love the whole granola bar thing. It's like, I grab one usually on the back of the way back from the restroom, back to my desk. I'll grab a granola bar, sit at my desk, like rip it open with just like one hand and just like shove it in, like crunch, crunch, keep typing. All right, we don't have any additional questions, so I might end off things here. I'm happy to keep wailing along, but there we go. I got some ideas. Should I share you some ideas? I don't really have like visuals for them, but I'll just talk at you. How about that? So I want to do more videos. I say this like every single like. I want to do more videos, and I have an idea for the first tutorial that I like am feeling really motivated to do. Anyone who knows the video game Deadlock should know that I play it quite a lot. But I just realized some of the Deadlock hero abilities are easy to recreate, and they might be, there's some virality to that. So the first one I want to do as a tutorial is recreating a character by the name of Viscus's Puddle Punch in Resonate, because I think that'll be really easy. Puddle Punch is basically just a knock-up. So the utility will be like, hey, you click on an area of the world, and a little fist appears, and the little fist knocks you up. It's not a little fist, it's a big fist, but you know what I mean. I just like building that in Resonate should be quite self-contained, should be easy to do as a tutorial, has some sort of virality to it. TikTok voice, I recreated Deadlock abilities in VR, episode 3. You know, it's got virality to do that, so I want to do that. Let me see if maybe I can get a GIF. I can't. Whatever, you'll just get Dancing Viscus anyway. So, you know, that like there's a bunch of abilities that can be recreated there. I think it would be really fun. You could do like 20 plus tutorials. It would like super viral. That would be cool. Another thing I want to do is I want to give my personal channel like an informal mascot. And you're going to love this, right? I'm going to take a cheese wedge and I'm going to give it arms and legs and like stereotypical like noodle arm and legs, like cop head style. And his name's going to be Mr. Cheese. And my promo code is going to be Mr. Cheese. And in the middle, or maybe at the end of my tutorials, I'm going to add like a sponsored section from Mr. Cheese. He'll be like, hi kids, I'm Mr. Cheese. Do you want extra storage on Resonate when you sign up for an account? Use my code Mr. Cheese to let them know that I sent you. Maybe I'll have like a little top hat and a cape. Go for like a ye olde circus vibe. I realize I've actually got some like work in progress Mr. Cheese pictures. Hold on. These two are Sketchfab models, but I think I want to do like the noodle arms instead, like kind of in the style of Cuphead, like, because that'll be easy to model and rig. Anyway, I don't know if I'll do any of those ideas because I say I'm going to do them, and then I get like wicked insomnia and can't sleep, or I spend a very good friend of mine just sent me Mr. Cheese and I fucking love it. So it's being forwarded straight to the chat. It's exactly what we're going to have. Like, literally exactly. Yeah, like I said, I might not end up doing those because at the end of the day, I still have to write Resonite code on top of doing all of this. But yeah, that's what we're going for. If anyone has any additional questions, do let me know. Otherwise, I'm going to go ahead and start closing things off here. Speak to you guys soon.